CliffCentral.com.
Yena funa hamba kongo. Hey, what's up, everybody? Umaraza Law, a.k.a. Mr. Kwan, a.k.a. P-L-I-N-D. And you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show, 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. It's another one of those really great days, and we get to be on a show just like this right here. It's the shortest hour of the week. Thank you very much for listening. This is the Unplugged and Enchanted Radio Show, baby. And this is Where's Up That Guy. Of course, I'm not alone. I'm here with the man that makes the money things to be done, Lesego Mapanga.
Hi, what's up? How are you? I was like, is my mic on? I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But I'm not that guy, though.
You're not that guy?
No, I'm not that guy, though.
Okay.
I'm Lesego, but I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy?
I'm not that guy.
You're just Lesego.
I'm just Lesego.
Lesego Mapanga.
But who is that guy, Wizard?
Who is that guy?
That guy.
Oh, my gosh. That guy is the man of the hour. The man your man wants to be. The Black James Bond.
The man among men.
The man among the men. Imenemen. Where's that guy?
It's so good to be here. It's been a while, actually.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
Yeah, man, a lot of things going on. A lot of good things on my side.
Yeah.
I think if I had to look at the highlight of the week, I was at the Drakensberg just about this past week. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really great. I mean, wow, it was my first time there.
And it's a good time to go because the weather's good right now.
Fana,
the weather's good right now.
There's some Nandik Pela, boy.
So were you there with the Drakensberg Boys Choir?
I saw them for the first time. I didn't know. I thought they were like all like high school guys.
Yeah.
But it's like primary to high school, right?
Yeah, it's like a whole, yeah.
And they're absolutely amazing. These kids have the best, like the most amount of passion I've ever seen. You know, when they're singing, when someone sings and they wiggle their head, you're like, I am.
We're like the white kids are saying like a Zulu verse and it sounds Zulu.
Yo!
Then you know it's you. Like, what?
When they're like, Gugonotwane.
You know? Like, and you're like, yes!
And you're hearing everything. You're
exactly.
Like, these kids, they got that thing, you know? That thing.
So we're just doing, he's doing things with his hands.
Yeah.
But you
that,
can't see him.
That
but,
thing.
But
mama.
If you know the thing, then you know what he's doing.
Yeah, man.
No, that was sick. No, I'm fine. Workers are all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's just good to be alive.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Fantastic.
I'm just happy to be on the show. It's been too long.
Yeah. So, I mean, you planning some big things. I heard you in a conversation saying that you're planning to buy a Vura.
Yeah, I know. It must be done, hey? It must be done. Hey. But you know, priorities. Let's see how we balance everything out.
Yeah. Okay. So it might not happen. Depends on priorities.
Oh, no. It will happen.
Oh, it will happen. Yeah. But it's just about time.
Yeah, and how it's done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
It's not that black and white.
Yeah. Actually, there's someone who once said that there's nothing wrong with our goals. Sometimes we are not unreasonable with the goals. We're just unreasonable with the time frame that we give ourselves to actually, you know, achieve whatever goal it is.
Yeah.
So that's always an important thing. Yeah, but in terms of highlight of the week, anything?
I've been getting really, really bad. I can hardly remember what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, that's how hectic it's been. I think this is probably my highlight of the week. Cause, I mean, I haven't been here in a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm happy to be here. But other than that, I think we're good. I think we're good. I was actually in a conversation with a mate of mine. And you know it's serious because Wiz is playing no bed music. Then you know he really wants to listen. He's like, okay, what's this guy saying?
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, where we are, right, Wiz, if you think about it, we're quite stable, right? I mean, we're employed, etc. We're not going starving, whatever the case may be, right? However, all that means is that the benchmark is set at, let's say a scale of 1 to 10, the benchmark is set at 5, right? The only issue with this, and we're debating about it, is that it then becomes a bit of an issue, right? When you now want to move, you're like, okay, 5 was cool, but now we're going to 8. If we don't make 8, we might even, like, we might drop to, let's say, a 3, you know, but it won't die.
Yeah.
Into the quality of life, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people do. So you find a lot, especially like in any industry, whatever, you get those people that settle, that are happy at that benchmark of 5. You know, I've got a house, I've got a car, I can afford, I'm not going hungry, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But if you're extremely ambitious, you know, it makes other people very uncomfortable.
True.
And that's what I've been sensing a lot. Like, literally the past month, I've just been sitting back and evaluating, just watching.
Yeah.
I think I've been talking to people more than I've been doing anything this past month. And people are just frustrated, fam. People are like, nah. Nah, there's more to this life thing. Why are we... This benchmark is just not it. And it seems like there's a detachment between... There's a generational gap. There's a managerial gap. There's just gaps in general. People don't understand people's ambition. But that's why we're here, right?
Yeah, you know, that
for
is true.
For the mere fact that we can do whatever we want, that's the whole reason why we're here.
I think just your personality in itself, Lesego, being a very ambitious person, it means that you're going to have to do quite a lot and even make a lot of people uncomfortable for you to get to where you want to be.
And that's fine, because we're not friends, right? No, we're really not.
Yeah.
What you're uncomfortable, you know, life goes on. But I've just sitting back and been noticing that. But this week, I mean, it was a public holiday when? Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, yes.
I think that really sets a lot of things off. You know, people are just saying it's Shopville Day, it's not a workers' day, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I spoke about that, because like a lot of workers that are like truly like just not happy where they are.
Yeah.
And, well, and then you need to ask the question, what does it mean to be content? So for you, Weza, what does it mean to be content?
To be content, I think before one can be content, you need to know where you want to be. And so that when you get there, you recognize it. Because when you have no set destination and you just keep going, you will never be content, because you will never... It's like driving. If I say,
you're
hey,
like stuck in
let's
limbo.
Go. Yeah. And we're going. We don't know where we're going, so we'll never know when we're there. And we just say, Baba, we just want to get far from here.
If I'm the navigator, I'd be like, turn right here. And then turn right there. Turn right.
Exactly.
Turn right.
Oh, God. And eventually, you're going in circles.
Because you're in limbo.
You're
going to
go
yeah.
forever. And
you have no direction.
Quite. Yeah. So I think contentment comes with knowing where you want to be, so that when you get there, you recognize it for what it is. And unless you recognize it, then you will never think that, yeah, I finally am where I've always wanted to be. You'll just keep on going. And guess what? You'll always just have this feeling that life is not quite where it's supposed to be.
So my question to you, do you think there's a difference between being content and being happy?
Being content and being happy. Yeah, there's a difference. You see, contentment comes with destination. When you are when you've found the destination, you can be like, ha, I'm here.
I've arrived.
Everything is fine. Happiness is the journey. You become happy knowing that you are doing what you want to do when you want to do it, and you are where you've always wanted to be. Like, for instance, on your time scale, which is your own, obviously, it's not someone else's. On your time scale, you're where you want to be. You have what you wanted to have, and you know that there's still more coming. I'm not at my destination, but I'm actually, when you're on the right track, it's just a nice feeling about it. Like, let's say, for instance, the difference between, Lesego, you know, your mom said to you, go to spa, buy bread, come back. But then on the way, you met me, and I said, yo, mfana, aso dlali ibhola, mfana. And now you come and you play soccer with me. Somewhere in the back of your mind, you got this feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm going to get it when I get home. I'm not supposed to be here. This is not what life is supposed to be for me. Yes, this is fun. This is great. But this is your trip, Weza. This is not my trip.
Yeah.
My trip was at spa.
That was my content to get to the destination of spa.
You were born?
Content number one and content number two, getting back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'd be happy on the direction knowing that near spa. You
know? You're happy knowing that you're not going to get into trouble.
Yeah. You're doing what you were supposed to do when you're supposed to be doing it, and you're going to get to your contentment destination.
I hear you. So essentially, the journey is the happiness, the destination is the contentment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm happy about where I'm going. I'm enjoying this ride. It's a roller coaster ride.
And
I'm
it's
really
where
happy.
You want to be.
It's where I want to be. And then once I get there, okay, now I'm content. At that point, you can choose whether, you know,
you want to make a new destination
or
now,
you want to stay where
or
you
want to stay here. Yeah,
I hear you.
Perfect.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Finally, something I say makes sense to you.
It makes sense. It does. It's reasonable.
This is great. I think the new me is great because I'm a little older now. You know, it's my first day in my older years.
Oh, happy belated.
It's all good. It's all good.
Why don't we have a birthday jingle?
No, I prefer the Rock City jingle.
Okay, guys. So if you don't know,
Wes is behind the decks, right? Yeah. So I can't really force the jingle on him. But do us a favor. So it's at Wes or that guy. What's the unplugged? It's at unplugged.
It's hashtag, at unplugged underscore
ZA. ZA.
Yeah.
But the hashtag is hashtag unplugged radio, right? Yeah. Send him some wishes, embarrass him, send him some memes. We'll make a whole thing of it.
I just say cut it out, man. Cut it out.
So that's such a breath of fresh air, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's always new perspective. It's always... Because I find that generally people always have two New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
There's the New Year's resolution at the end of December, and there's a resolution, you know, on your birthday. Because essentially that's your year.
Mm.
The other year is just administrative, so everything is in order. But really your year is birthday to birthday.
Yeah.
So by this time next year, you know, because it's all about you. Fuck this. This is your birthday week, you know. Fuck the show. fuck the schedule. Like, where's Mokuzi?
Like, kids are listening, man.
Throw his stuff out. So what's your contentment?
Yeah.
You know, okay. Let me try to be systematic about this.
All right, cool.
What is your happiness, right?
Which
means, what is your journey?
Yeah.
From now until next year this time. What do you think that journey looks like? Or what would you like that journey to look like?
Mm.
Right? And then what is your contentment for next year this time?
This is such a beautiful exercise. Wow. Because it's going to really help me get a good perspective on this year.
So I'm a good friend.
I think everyone needs to ask these questions. Thanks, Lesego. My gosh, the year's only started for me and you've already been a good friend.
where's the horn when you need it? This is
that award moment. And all Lesego's getting instead of awards, is just... Okay, cool. Let me think. All right. So, how does it look like? Okay. Let me just think.
So the first one is the journey, right? What is the happiness? You know, if this journey was going well for you, like, oh, this is a good journey.
Yeah.
What is that? Paint us a picture. Okay, what does it look like?
So the journey involves, still involves radio, still involves voiceovers and TV and so on, but it involves me and my company doing a couple of things that I really want to do right now. Like, the training business is on just another level.
Mm.
And there's more productions happening in terms of the ads that we do and so on.
Mm.
And in the corporate space, I'm being an amazing MC in bigger stages. I want to leave the country, you know. I want to do a couple of things out the country, not necessarily leave the country as in forever, but what I mean is, you know, get bookings outside,
do more work outside.
Do more work outside. Where's our worldwide, you know what I mean? I want to break the bank, you know what I mean?
Why not?
Yeah, and by next year this time, contentment is having a fully paid place, like the place I have now. I bought it, yeah, fine. I've just made a huge deposit on it, like to reduce, you know, the installments and whatever.
Yeah,
but I want a place that they originally thought I was going to take 20 years to pay off. I want to pay it off in 8 months. That's me right there.
So essentially, you want to take back the land.
I want to take back my land.
That's what
I want to have a piece of land where I can say, I can call this my own.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's just some of the things. And I have like a 3-year plan where 2020, I see a couple of really big things. But yeah, that I think, just to say what is going to happen in the next 12 months, normally, actually, when you put all the right measures into place, even that which you have aimed for will seem mediocre when you get to the end. You'll be like, whoa,
yeah,
I've done that plus more. So that's always a good thing. And it comes when you have the right type of people around you and mm-hmm. you're also grafting. Like a friend of mine was saying that he found me pondering. She was seeing me look deeply into, like I was deep in thought, and she was thinking, oh my gosh, what's this guy thinking? Maybe he's like a problem. What's on your mind? And I was like, no, I'm trying to think. And then I'm mentioning other companies and how much they're charging for this and that, and I wanted a way to get us there. And she's thinking, whoa, what? That's what you think about so deeply? Because you know, other people are out here
worried about,
you know, about the chick and the girl and the this and the party and the alcohol and the morning after, all sorts of things. And we out here worried about making business bigger.
It is. Yeah. It's perspective, right? Your the things that you worry about is how far do you stretch yourself?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? What wakes me, or what keeps me awake, or what makes me the most anxious is potential. I am so worried that I won't do all the things I'm capable of doing. You know when someone looks at you, and says, wow, you should totally, and then they mention something, and you're thinking that is well within your power to do, but you're just so scared that you won't get to do everything because you can do so much. You don't want to look back when you're 40 and say, hey, Shimfan, there are so many things I could have done that I didn't do. And I think someone once said that, you see the quote by Nelson Mandela that says, our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, but we are powerful beyond measure. I try to scrutinize that and think, what does it really mean? Because I think so many, 90% of the people that hear that thing don't understand. What he's really referring to is the fact that we've got crazy potential and we are so scared that we never get to manifest it. And that just that feeling of when you see someone successful, super successful, and you realize that you were sharing a table with him one day, he was in your class, he was in your lifetime, or maybe he was your race, your gender, and your background, and look at what he's done. That person represents your missed opportunities. That person represents your potential, and normally that's where the jealousy, that's where the negativity comes from, because you're actually not negative towards the person, you're actually negative towards yourself for not having done everything that was within your power, and you seeing it unfold in someone else.
Yeah, Sibu always likes that line to say that hell is when you bump into a version of you that hell is when you bump into someone who's doing really great that could have been you.
Yeah, it's like a version. It's like the other version of you.
Yourself. Yeah,
like the old Kanye. That vibe.
Hey, you know, like that's the definition of hell. Seeing all your missed opportunities in a person.
I think that's kind of what happens when you bump into an ex and he's like, "I'm the man." Yeah, said it. And you thinking, "Shucks, we used to date."
And even I think another person I'm gonna quote that you like quoting, Les Brown. I think Les Brown makes it actually more simpler. He says, the fear that we have is that, what if I do this and then I fail? Then what? You know, people are scared of that. But then people are also scared of, what if I do it and I succeed and I can't handle it?
Eesh.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I think he puts it more.
Because now you would, because you would end up disappointing everyone who thinks that now because you succeed, you did that thing, you are supposed to be all of this, and you're thinking, but I can't be all of that.
You're supposed to be like a fundamentally different person. That's not how it works.
You know, sometimes I feel that pressure when people think that you are this genius person, and you're not really that genius.
Yeah.
And people want smart things to come out of your mouth. And you're like, wait, guys, no, not me.
Sometimes you can't even say, I just don't know.
Yes, exactly. People are thinking, you know, okay, Simpio or Lesejo, what do you have to say? And you're saying, but I'm a boy. It's not nice. We see some messages coming through right here. Thank you very much for them. You can send through your messages on WhatsApp. That's 079-748-2090. That's where you can just text us as easy as that. Like real quick, you can just literally text us and we'll get it like that. Also on Twitter, you tag at cliffcentral.com and you also hashtag unplugged radio show. I just see right here that we're getting some love. Someone saying, hey, love you guys, continue the good work. That was a message from WhatsApp, so thank you very much for that. The others have been about, hey, I haven't had a phone for 2 months. So there was no Cliff Central for you because you didn't have a phone, but now you're back, right? So thank you for coming back. We love the loyalty. But of course, the other thing that you can do, even if you miss out, let's say you don't have a phone for quite a while, is you can get Cliff Central on your laptop or on your computer. And that's the beauty of it all. You can literally just download it wherever. And the other really cool thing is also the fact that we, are online. So because you missed the show, the live show, you can always just catch the podcast. And here is the smart thing. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. So what you do is at work or even at those free Wi-Fi places, you just go onto Cliff Central, download all your favorites, and then you can get to listen to them in another time. That's a cool thing. That's how you save data, because data has not fallen.
It is rising.
Yeah.
And it's refusing to budge.
Ish, it's refusing to budge that time. You're absolutely right. So one thing that you did mention, Lesejo, is that the fact that, I mean, Human Rights Day is pretty much also something that is upon us. So it's actually quite important that we you know, look into that. What does Human Rights Day really represent? What is it all about? And exactly where does it come from? So many people, I think, are just, they're just seeing it as another holiday. Yay, good time to party. And it's like, yeah, well, some people died, so what, you know? And they don't quite understand what fundamentally human rights means. What does human rights mean to you?
You know what? That's such a very difficult question, especially for me. So I'll be the first to admit, right, that I don't know a lot about my own country. And this is a problem. So I probably learned more about my country from, let's say, the History Channel or BBC Africa than I have from my own country, right? Mm. And the reason why, and that's why I don't claim to be a knowledge expert in any means by my own history, and that is very disappointing. However, I'm working on it. Mm. However, though, you know, there's always things that happen on a daily basis. So, I mean, for example, Weza, you and I were talking about happiness and contentment, right, and the journey. Right. So what I decided to do was, so that's pretty much how I work on the show. What I decided to do was, right, let's hijack someone, right, that was on a journey this past week, right? And let's have her perspective. So a lot of you know her. She was actually I'll let her introduce her.
Because you know what that was? You're like, actually don't know what the hell she does, but okay.
No, because you know the thing, I think in my mind, like, you were here just before us, right?
Yeah.
But the app doesn't work that way. Somebody could have listened to somebody else, like,
exactly. They were listening to your last week's show even before this show.
So it'd be wrong for me to say you were here before.
You know her from the show before this one. So I'm Candace Mama, guys. I do a show with Tamisha Masha, and it's called The Weekly Mashup before the show.
Yeah.
You guys are usually kicking us out of the studio because we're running over time. So
I just blame
that's
Timisha,
how they know us,
because Timisha just sits there and he gets all comfortable.
He
like,
does. He uses his Timisha Masha card in the studio.
Yo, why are you name dropping, dog? Get off the seat, man.
I'm excited because you just told me you're going to drag me into studio, and I don't know what kind of insight you want from me.
Yeah, so I'm going to drop a couple of bars from you. So Weza just asked me, you know, what does human rights mean to me, and I'm still mulling my head over it.
Yeah.
So I want to let's unpack it, right, and let's have some perspective. So
okay.
So let's start with this. I'm going to jump straight into it, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
jump
Candace,
in.
Mm-hmm. Who is George Bezos?
Okay, so George Bezos was actually a very big lawyer during the TRC. Mm. He was an advocate that represented all of the affected families, pretty much. And his conviction, so what happened was, in my personal relation and connection to George, was that my dad's trial, so it was the Eugene de Kock trial. So Eugene de Kock had been granted amnesty for all the crimes he confessed to. And for one trial, he actually lied about some of the details. And that trial happened to be my father's trial, which was the Nalspruit 4 trial. So that was the trial that George Bezos managed to put Eugene de Kock behind bars for. So it was a life sentence. And yeah, so that's how George and I connected.
Hectic.
Very.
And then obviously you've had a very busy week.
I have.
But a very positively busy week.
Yeah.
Unpack that for us.
You know, human rights.
Because it's all related.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this week I was involved in an exhibition with Sue Williamson. Mm. And Sue Williamson is a very huge artist in unpacking the past of the country. So she uses art as a medium to educate people, but to also talk about the past. So I was very blessed when she asked me to be a part of one of her projects. And that project is called Pleasure to Meet You, where myself and Sia are in conversation. And we both went through a similar experience whereby our fathers were killed by Eugene de Kock or his team. And whereas my journey was that I forgave Eugene, Sia's journey was that he didn't forgive Eugene. So we go into dialogue about this. And this was a piece that was shown at the George Bezos Gallery on Tuesday. Yes, on Human Rights Day.
That is so hectic. That's like two sides of the same
coin.
And I guess with that being said, I'm gonna pose Wes's question to you.
Yes.
Right? What does Humans Rights Day mean to Candace?
So Human Rights Day means so many things, and I think it's so important for people to actually use Human Rights Day as a day to get educated and not just to turn up. So that's why I was actually involved as a panelist on Tuesday when the opening was, you know, for the George Bizos and Sue Williamson collaboration. So I think people, as soon as you confront the ideas of our past and we engage in conversation as to how do we prevent this from occurring again, because although apartheid will never occur in the extent it occurred in the past, but as you are seeing that, you know, racism is rearing its head again, and it's coming into our everyday contact, and people are sharing anger, and a lot of people are saying that we should, you know, go back to being angry, you know, Black people should just reclaim all the land and, you know, we start from scratch. But unfortunately, it's not a logical solution moving forward. And I find that a lot of times when people are confronted with the real past and they see these kind of exhibitions, they realize that we can't go back there. That is not a happy place to be. And a lot of the time they're like, you know what? I don't want to engage in anger. I want to engage in a solution. So I think that's what human rights should mean to all of us.
Yeah. Tell me, growing up, did you ever experience any apartheid and that type of thing yourself?
You know, I think because I was affected directly by my dad's murder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, lacking a father in the household was, of course, the direct effect, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, of course, there were small things like you know, when you go to an all-white school or a Model C school, that, hey, I'm different, you know, and all the kids are kind of looking at you like, why is your hair bouncing back? like, you know, why don't you want to swim? And you're thinking a lot of factors. Number one, I don't like water. Number two, my hair's just not going to be the same afterwards. And I can't just like wipe it out of my face Baywatch style. Like,
yeah, it doesn't work. Like,
exactly. So, I mean, you do notice slight differences between you and your peer group. And of course, a lot of white households were fortunate to have both parents. So you also notice that I'm lacking something here. There's something that doesn't make sense. So in that way, of course, I've always been aware of the differences. But, you know, overall, I don't think I was as badly affected as some of the other people living in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would your dad be classified as a, what type of veteran would we call him? Like a,
you know, it's so difficult to actually have placed him, but I just think he was just, you know, an apartheid fighter, really, you know.
Military veteran?
It was more, he was working for the PAC.
Okay.
So they, he was just a part of the PAC, and he was very young. I mean, my dad was the age I am now when he passed away, which is 25. So he was very young still, you know.
I was not imagining that.
Yes, yes. So it's, sometimes, I mean, I look at where I am in life and the kind of life I live at 25 versus the kind of life he was living at 25, and it's such a stark contrast, you know, and it makes you think, you know.
Do you think you are standing for something as strongly as he stood for it at that age?
You know, I don't think I even compete. I don't think I hold a candle to what he did. But I was telling Tamisha on the show that the irony is last night I was actually thinking after the whole George Bizos exhibition and stuff, and I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, the case that put my father away, right? I mean, that put Eugene de Kock away was my father's case. And I advocated for his parole. And I was like, and the very, like it came full circle because the case that put him away was my father's. And then I'm the next generation and I'm the almost the person who set him free in a lot of ways. So it's very full circle for me. And I'm like, goodness, you know, like, am I doing this thing right? You know, and I think you always question yourself. But when I, my impact in the country, I want to, you know, urge people to forgive, and I want people to come out of their own pain, and not because of the perpetrators, but for their own sense of self, you know.
Wow. I think it's absolutely amazing. That was deep.
Right.
When did the sit-down come? He was like, yo.
What?
So that means you pretty much had to go through a series of, you know, forgiveness cleansing of your own self and not to hold on to any negativity, because you can grow up an angry child and say, I know who killed my dad.
Yeah.
It's you people. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of a person, now it's people.
Yes.
You people.
Yes, a collective and responsibility.
And you grow up with a certain anger and what happens sometimes with people who grow up with that anger is that one little thing can, you know, just make them snap.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden people are like, whoa, we didn't know you. Jeez, can I smoke?
Yes. You know? Yes.
And so it's interesting. If you're saying that you were part of those advocating for his freedom, that means you were pretty much, you had healed.
I had. And you know what it is? It's that saying, being angry is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Hold on, chill. Ooh, breathe. Hold on, wait. Ooh. Hey, take that in for a second. Take that in for a second. I want to drop the mic, but it's fixed to like a stand and I can't drop the mic.
Just make a mic dropping sound like... That's the mic dropping right there.
Wow.
I mean, these are all the mics in the studio dropping.
Yo.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I love how you guys are looking at me. I'm like, I'm the bomb.
You are so the bomb. Like,
yo.
Geez. 2 engineering degrees. That was the best thing we've ever learned. Ever.
Jeez.
Ever.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So
okay, cool.
I'll just pick that up from there. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, for me, healing and forgiveness really becomes for yourself. You know, you don't heal for your perpetrator, you heal for you. And when I came to the realization that every time I thought of Eugene or every time I associated something with him, I would become angry and it would mess up my whole day and it affected him not in the least bit. You know, he was in prison. He didn't know I was angry.
Yeah. Yes.
So when I let go of that anger, I realized that, you know what, this person's no longer, I'm not imprisoned to them anymore and I'm free from their grasp. And I think that's the most liberating feeling you can experience. And when I met him, and I said, you know, I forgive you. It was just the second part of saying, you know what, I'm truly over this period in my life. You know, I forgive you. I hope that, you know, you can have a purpose in your life after this. And I'm moving forward. And really, that was it.
Jeez.
I think that's an extremely deep wisdom.
Yeah. Yo.
I was watching, I think a week ago. I don't know if you guys have watched it, 12 Years a Slave. I make sure to watch it like on a Friday, so when I go to work, I don't go to work angry.
Fair.
But literally, you know, and when I was watching the movie, I was like, you know, this is why the death penalty will never come to South Africa. This is why the death penalty has no place anywhere in the world, to be honest. Because had Eugene gotten the death penalty, you'd never gotten that opportunity to say, listen, you, in your eyes, you know, I forgive you.
Precisely.
I'm cool. I am thriving.
Mm.
I will be better. You know, a luta continua. You would have never had that opportunity.
Yeah.
And it almost gives perspective to me, because we're talking about, you know, the perspectives of what's happening in the country right now.
Yeah.
Because people take things out of context and people just say things, you know, whenever they think they can. People with no context of what happened in the past, you know, let's take back all the land. No, you can't take back all the land. They did take back all the land, like, you know, 50 years ago, and it was not great. So you don't want a recurrence of that.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, you listen to some of these talk shows and want to bring back the death penalty. You can't do that either.
Yeah.
Because these things don't work. And for a lot of people, you know, still say, me, myself, I don't understand how Nelson Mandela literally forgave people that imprisoned him for 27 years. I've always been so baffled about that. But the more I grow and then I meet the Candaces of the world, and you forgive Eugene. Listen, I don't know how you did it. I don't think, I don't know if I'd have that strength.
I wish.
Well, you can't.
I would have had my Lambo. My Lambo would have been in the garage.
And I would have been in like the passenger seat.
We need Tulima Donzela to come back. It is no longer state capture. It's Candace capture.
Candace capture.
Oh, I wish. Oh my goodness. And a lot of people, when my story did hit the media, thought I was paid off. And I was like, I wish. Like, no one
it doesn't work that way.
I wish someone had come to me and been like, Candace, if we give you some money, listen, will you just forgive him?
Listen,
like, and yeah. I'd be like, first I'd laugh because I'd be like, am I in a movie right now? This is so cool.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that. You know, I think I've been rewarded in something that's far greater than money, and that's peace of mind and happiness. Mm. So I have been paid in something or rewarded in something. Yeah,
that's amazing because you know what, anger is actually like a ball and chain.
Mm.
It's the thing that keeps you where you are. You never get to move, and the more people you have that you're angry at, the heavier your ball weighs. Oh, some people have a 5-kilogram ball, others have a 5-ton ball. Oh, They're moving nowhere. Same position, 20 years.
You're staying right here.
Why are you still at the same company doing the same thing you did 20 years ago?
Right?
Because they got some issues that they have never dealt with, and they've got people that they're very angry at, and they're not moving in life because they're still stuck on that.
Exactly.
And the new person they want to meet, they want to tell them how unfair life was, what happened to them in the previous job, and how the other person was so unfair.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it's, and you don't like those type of people around you because they just come with negativity.
No, it's bad energy.
Mm. Yeah.
And you see them from a mile away and you're already ducking. You're like,
you can smell them. You know what's funny? They stay in one company doing the same thing for 20 years. Yeah. You know what they call it? I'm an expert.
Yeah.
I have experience. I'm like, no, dude. First thing what you were doing for 20 years, like, is that what you call it? No. I call it lack of progress.
But I mean, all you have to do is really look at Twitter for that. You know, I mean, all the people that are actually moving forward in life, they don't have time to entertain negativity.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone who's doing nothing and just sitting in a dead end position or situation have all the time in the world to criticize.
I know. And I think I want to touch on peace of mind.
Yes.
Because I think that's the undertone, is probably the biggest subject to what we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Peace of mind. It's a tough thing, that thing. Hey?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you see, you're right, you see it on Twitter. Mm. You know, somebody says something very low and somebody just goes off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you think to yourself, like, how frustrated are you? You know,
right?
You know, like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
It's like people that complain about window washers at the chicken rolls. I'm like, listen here. There are people dying. There's addicts across the road. There are people hungry. Your biggest issue
is
that
washer.
The guy at the robot, instead of begging you for money, he wants to wash your windscreen.
Mm.
That is your problem.
Mm.
How much of an issue do you have? How much lack of peace of mind do you have?
Mm.
But then I want to ask a question, right? So Candace, what would you describe peace of mind?
You know, I feel like as you're moving through life, you know, your definition of things starts to change, and what you value starts to shift and change, and, you know, it manifests itself differently. So for me personally, the biggest, of course, peace of mind was forgiveness.
Yeah.
Moving past the hurdle of, excuse me. So moving past the hurdle of saying, I'm so angry and, you know, my life, because you know, what's funny about anger. People justify it for you. So it's okay. If you're an angry person, they'll be like, oh my gosh, you're about to meet my angry friend Candace. But you know, it's because she lost her father and she lost this and everyone feels pity, but no one wants to be around you. So it's still, you know, it's that blockage. But as you move forward, I've realized that peace of mind to me is just being able to live life on my own terms.
Yeah.
You know, so even when I experience pushback or I experience hurdles, for me, I still feel good because, you know, it's my life and I'm living it by my own rules. So for me, that's the biggest thing, living a life of purpose. And that gives me peace of mind.
Fantastic. Well, in a short little while, we'll also find out if Candace is attempting to, will, or maybe is considering dating somebody who's a white boy. Certainly always good to know that we're still being creative with new struggle songs. That is a Fizma's full struggle song right there.
Yeah.
And it feels like, you know, the originals from back in the day, you know. So our parents can't say, but you kids, you don't have soul. You know, you don't do it like we used to do it.
Yeah, no, we're doing it.
Yeah. So it is a pretty cool thing. And it's really great that we can protest and song in such a legendary way. I mean, these type of songs, they stir up something in you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if white people feel the same, but like when you're black and you're listening to these songs, you just feel that thing.
It makes you want to do something.
It makes you want to do something about it. You know?
Come on, do something.
Yeah. So a couple of interviews were done to check out what the average South African thinks about human rights and so on. And I think here's what some of them had to say.
We start in South Africa, where the country's economy is expected to improve slightly in 2017, but it certainly will be another tough year for the country. We've seen South Africa remain at risk of losing its credit rating status. That, of course, will make the cost of debt higher. But plans are in place to turn the economy around. Sumitra Naidoo reports that policy implementation...
Seems to talk about policy implementation in South Africa. It's not quite the one we expected. I think Dr. Spoo Cozy is on the case. He will definitely have something for us different in a short little while. But what is human rights? Let's find out.
The respect for human rights is a central feature of a constitutional democracy. Human rights protect us against the actions of those who exercise power over us and help us to create a world in which we can all reach our full potential as human beings. We are entitled to have our human rights protected and promoted simply because we are human beings and deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. This means whatever our nationality, place of residence, sex, national or ethnic origin, color, religion, language, or any other status, we are all entitled to fundamental human rights. Because of South Africa's apartheid history, the protection of human rights is specifically important in this country. Before 1994, the most basic rights of the majority of South Africans were not respected by the state. We decided as a nation to protect the human rights of all when we became a democracy, to ensure that no one is subjected to the infringement of our rights and the denial of their human dignity ever again. The protection of human rights in South Africa draws inspiration from the global human rights movement, which started after the Second World War and culminated in the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the United Nations General Assembly in 1948. Human rights follow three core principles which describe how these rights work and apply. Firstly, our rights are inalienable. That means that our rights will always apply to us simply because we are human. They cannot be taken away from us by anyone. Our rights will not change even if our life circumstances change. The second core principle is interdependence. That means that our rights come as a full package. This is because the protection of some rights depends on the protection of other rights. Our human rights support one another and strengthen one another.
All right, cool. So, yeah, that was a little bit of what it is, you know, to have human rights and why human rights are important. And I think the interesting thing is the 21st of March is not just about South African human rights, but it's also, it mentions when you read what it says on the Parliament's website, that it is South African and non-South African people. That's actually interesting, because sometimes we think that, yeah, no, it only applies to, you know, to us. These foreigners must still go. No, yeah. Baba, if you're going to celebrate Human Rights Day, it's for everybody.
It's for humans.
Exactly.
And I love that.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. So we were still asking an important question here. The lady that is, you know, she's got a lot to do with the apartheid time, because her father was a military veteran, or maybe just an apartheid veteran, not a villain, a veteran. And he had to also, she had to forgive a villain of the system. And she went through a lot of things, you know, black and white and so on. So now we want to know, you, Miss Candice, have you ever dated a Caucasian?
No matter how many times you guys ask that question, it's still like, oh my gosh.
Cool.
People are going to be like, she's a traitor. I have dated a white guy.
Yeah.
I have. And I really don't. I don't date people based on color. I have to tell you. I date people based on content and character and what they add to my life at any particular point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've dated, like, I am the UN when it comes to dating. I've dated an Indian. I've dated, you know, white guys, colored guys, black guys. So I am like...
Bars. This is the coffee and none of this
club.
I'm the coffee and none of dating, yes.
Jeez, man. Tasted all types of coffee.
Wow.
Milk, no milk, 2%, low fat, fat free.
Skim milk.
Soy.
Wow.
Just a little bit of soy. Just let it go.
Oh boy.
You guys are terrible. You guys are terrible. Milk? Really? Really? Wow. Subtle, very subtle.
No. It's a thing. Kevin Hart has a joke like that on his new stand-up comedy. You should go watch it.
Yeah, so that's a lie. Cool. Will just made it all up.
No,
that's
it's all.
I don't know why he's blaming other guys.
He's like, I'm not being inappropriate.
I'm not being inappropriate.
It's
I'm
Kevin Hart. Like,
but because it's birthday,
it's
week.
It's tea.
You know?
Okay. We'll forgive you.
Brown tea, when you add milk, it looks like a white guy.
Isn't it true? It is not true.
It is. So tweet us, hashtag Unplug Radio. Tell us if tea with milk looks like a white guy.
I feel like it would be all milk. All milk.
So you know, I actually want to know. So you are now this.
Where do we go from here?
You know, you are now this born free. Look at me. New, this. You're out here living
dating
your best life,
men.
Dating white men. What does your family say?
Yeah.
My family, well, what people don't know is that my mother's mixed race. So my mom is half Italian, half Tswana. So
I
mean, hey. Yo!
So
can I see a picture of your mom? She must be such a flame.
She is a flame. Oh. And it's actually so sad. But, so like, yeah, so I come from a mixed family. And so for me, race has never been like the biggest equating factor, whether I'm dating someone or not. You know, it's always about who is this person? You know, and do I find them attractive? And if I do and I like what you have to say, then probably I'm going to date you.
That's like a mixture of pasta and mala muhodu.
Yeah, you took it there.
Wow.
But you're so right. That's exactly what it is.
A mala muhodu pasta.
Yeah.
Yes, that's not what I had in mind.
So maybe let's get a bit of context, right? So are you the only child? Do you have siblings?
I have siblings. I've got an older brother and a younger brother.
So how old is your brother?
He's 30 and then my younger brother's 18.
So how old were your parents when they had the
first 18. She started young.
What?
Yeah, because she's half Italian, half Italian. I'd also start young. Hey! Okay, alright.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that's not even a good picture. I don't want you to perv over her, so I took the worst picture. No, I took the worst picture, genuinely.
Guys, this interview has taken so many different turns. Literally, there could be like four topics.
Let me find my mom a proper picture of her, because if I showed you, she'd be like, you chose that one?
I was falsely represented.
She is being very, and I'm not even denying it. It's so, you know, it's so funny. My mom and I will go out. Mm-hmm. We'll just be going out for coffee or whatever, and men will hit on both of us. It's disgusting. It is disgusting. And then, like, I'll go
that
to the
so
bathroom,
cool.
And then that is disgusting.
That is so cool. That's bonding time, is what I'm
like. If I can't, have you, I'll have your friend. You know, it's like, you want to go from me to my mom?
Really?
That is disgusting. Yes. And you know, it takes some convincing for people to believe she's my mother, but yeah she is.
I'm still doubting, and I mean, you know, I can see it, but I'm like, okay. Okay, so I don't want to look at this picture yet, because I don't want to get distressed, because I'll be breathless.
Whatever.
So essentially, you know, just tell me, because I mean, you're at peace now, right?
Yeah.
So what does the future look like for Kendall? I mean, we're talking about Wazer now and his journey, etc.
Yes.
Because this is pretty much his New Year's resolution right now today.
Yeah.
But you know, with Candace, you know, just paint us a picture, because the sky's the limit for Candace. So what's Candace doing in the next year, 2, 3, 4?
Well, in the next year, Candace should be an international speaker. She's going to be heading to New York University, delivering one of her talks. Mm. And, you know, I just want to be traveling. I want to travel. I want to bring hope. But of course, like, this is not a fully selfless journey, you know, because I want to travel. And,
hey, look at that. What?
Yeah.
Kind of game.
Exactly. So, I mean, I see myself empowering more people to, you know, take on a part that is just beneficial to them. And it's not really about the world, but it's just, you know, growing who you are as a person. Knowing that in life, honestly, we are all so worthy of greatness. We are all so worthy of achieving things, and not really, you know, boxing yourself into this thing of, I only need to make it in South Africa. You know, make your journey a global one. You know, spread, every single one of us have a story. Even in this studio, you guys have a story. And it's just about, you know, touching the right people with your personal story. So that's what I strive to do.
You know what I want to do? I want my voiceovers to play on Mars.
Yeah.
A man gets to the moon, he needs to have someone saying, "Welcome to the moon."
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
What you know about this?
Yeah, you know about that. I love that. Guys, it's been another one of those really great, great shows. It's shortest hour in the week, and it's already over.
Candace, thank you very much
for coming through.
What a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to just catch up with someone new, and also, of course, someone with who's so ambitious, so driven, and I think a lot of young women and guys can actually really look up to you, and they can take a lot, and they can say, wow, that inspires me as well. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me, guys.
And from my side, thank you so much to Candace's mom for just being who she is.
You know,
you've given hope to the world.
That is savage.
I'm just sitting here just thinking about this. The world is a beautiful place.
I'm telling you, and another thing that was a beautiful thing was, I'm sure, the menu at home. One day, kebab. Next day, kebab.
You know.
Then it is tagliatelle.
Hello.
You know.
Hey.
Then it is mozzarella. Thank you very much, Candace. You catch us again every single Thursday, 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Otherwise, you can always get the podcast as well. This is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show on CliffCentral.com.